Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another sweltering day, another temperature, another day with temperatures in the upper 90s. Yes, I wasn't, I caught a weather forecast. I know what it was. I was on hold this morning, about to go on a, spend a few minutes with Wimp and Barry Sanderson up in Tuscaloosa. And as they do, they got James Spann is giving the weather forecast for Birmingham and obviously the Tuscaloosa area, and said a cooling weather coming in by Friday with temperatures dropping to the mid 90s.
Man,
I don't need to. That is not a cooling trend, James. 95 ain't cooling. So yeah, it is hot. Be very careful if you have to be out. Again, as and Andy said it yesterday. Man, just tip of the cap and everything else to anybody that has to be working outside, because there are a lot of folks that are and do, and man, it is really something, and I'm glad I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I always remember, like, I did a couple news internships in college, and mm-hmm. this time of the summer was always like, you find yourself seeking out lawn companies to write about, like, the health concerns of working in this kind of heat. It's like, it's just, this is the brutal season. It doesn't matter where you're at.
Lawn companies, roofers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I just guys doing that kind of work. It's just it's really, really something. But be careful if you have to be out. You know, stay hydrated. Sunscreen, caps if possible, whatever. Hope your AC is working. That is something really tough. We're here with you today. That other voice you heard, of course, it's Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser, and as he is on Wednesdays, Drew is back at the controls, and we got a good bit to talk about today, because we got a ton of information. Auburn had its second and really its final full scrimmage here of the preseason today over at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And I said to you a few minutes ago, Adam, I mean, Alex Golish, it's gold. You ask him a question about a position, he will give you everybody at that position and a little something about them. And, you know, if he's positive about them, if they need to do some work. But, I mean, he doesn't back away. He's not one of those coaches that just says, yeah, we had some good and some bad. He said that, but then he went into some details, and we got as much information, on, I think, where most everybody stands as I can recall preseason from a head coach.
Yeah, it was, I think we said earlier, 28 minutes he went today, and it's just, you know, especially like with the positions that you mm-hmm. ask about, just the complete inverse of I think about a lot of Brian Harsin answers. Oh. Like, I remember one time asking him specifically about Nick Broms, and he managed to make it about the entire offensive line, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like Golish will make things generally about the bulk of the position,
but
he will give you
one.
Everything.
Right.
Like he manages to fill up half an hour. That's for sure.
But today, you know, it's funny. Last week after the scrimmage Friday, there were a lot of people that were, concerned about some of his comments. I didn't get the feeling Friday that he was terribly upset
yeah.
about that first scrimmage. He just wasn't happy that it was sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
There were pre-snap penalties. There were just some things that he knew needed to be cleaned up, tackling.
Mm-hmm.
And he today, one of the first things he said was he was really proud of the way they tackled today. You knew that after he really brought that up and pointed that out Friday, that was going to be a point of emphasis for the next couple of practices, and obviously it took.
Yeah, no, I mean, to hear that was certainly good, and I just thought the biggest thing about, like, last week, I guess sloppy sums it up, but a lot of it I felt like had to do with the emotion. you know, and obviously that's what you walk away with. But I think the first thing he said last week was that it was like a productive day, like a very productive day. We got a lot done. And like, that's, you know, in the weirdest way is that, you know, what happened last week makes for a pretty easy headline, but at the same time, a lot of times, I mean, that's growth. Like that's how you make the progress. You've got to go through stuff like that to learn, you know, not to do it again. But yeah, it seemed like today was, even though last week wasn't necessarily a terrible mood, like seemed like he was feeling a lot better coming out of this one than last week.
Oh yes. I mean, there was not, his biggest concern right now is, the players recognizing situational situations. You know, when you're in a certain situation, what's the down, what's the distance, what's the time? That time, that is his biggest concern right now. I think he feels like, as far as understanding what they're doing and being able to make some plays, they're getting there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that kind of ties into the bigger sort of mantra of what's just been throughout this first off season of, you know, there's such a priority on the details and like the particulars, and to be at the point now where you are talking about things that are, you know, not the finest details necessarily, but still, like, you're getting particular with that, you're getting detailed. I mean, he talked about, if I'm right, some of the periods they went through today. I think they started with a period of a situational at the 1 yard line,
right, coming out from the goal line basically.
Yeah, so it sounds like that's getting a ton of work, but you know, if anything, seems like maybe that was really kind of the focus today to some extent. Just that's, as I recall it, like, it was a lot of information, but I seem to recall there was one point where he went in depth on the whole day and it just sounded like nothing but, you know, situational. So,
I mean, he brought up some big plays made on both sides of the ball. Started off by talking about Dallas Walker. I mean, you know, how he has maybe been the most constant player there on defense. And as I understand it, Adam, he had an interception that would have been a pick six, but they just blew the whistle.
I did hear that one too, which is I hope there's I have not checked the Auburn media gallery, but I hope there's whether it's a video or a photo somewhere. I would like to see that. I would reach the point of paying top dollar to see that.
I mean, he's a guy that that last year you felt like, well, he's going to be a situational guy. He's going to be a run stopper, short yardage, or something like that. Became a little more of that, and then has obviously really decided that, you know, he wants to see, you know, how good he can be. And he's dropped 30 pounds. You know, Vontrell was talking about him being an every down guy and one of the leaders. And sounds like, I mean, he's just had an outstanding fall, which, golly, again, fall. An outstanding preseason, but with him and Cody Sigler, you've got two very veteran leaders there on that defensive interior.
I think for one, like, that was one of the things that very much jumped out to me today was, I haven't watched a ton of like Cody Sigler, like from his last year, but you look at the numbers and it's interesting to think about an interior guy doing that. Obviously Golish said today that he's going to swing out and play a little bit of end, which is just exciting. Like, that's exciting to think about, a dude that big.
Yeah,
like,
he's a 300 pounder
moving, move out to be able to do that and kind of affect the pass rush. Like, that's an exciting prospect, especially paired with what you're hearing about Dallas Walker. The other thing that I thought about today, because Golish did talk about with the edge rushers, you know, kind of after JJ Falk, he was like, this is really all on, like, he's like, this is my fault. Like CK Murray has been doing enough to like acknowledge getting discussed in this room, and he's right in there of the two deep and like giving us, you know, some quality snaps at edge rusher. To think about Auburn being able to hit on the two guys who they brought back with an extra year of eligibility this year, like, just, you know, taking all the squeeze, like, so to speak, of that opportunity is you know, I don't think you had that on your bingo card necessarily going into this.
You're right.
That's an exciting prospect.
Oh, it really is. All right. So he mentioned Dallas Walker, he mentioned Jared Smith, he mentioned Deshaun Womack, Eric Winters, and there was one other defensive guy, wasn't there? But I mean, he mentioned some defensive guys there.
Jared Smith. Did you say Jared Smith? Okay. Whoops. New boy. He
new
mentioned
boy
as
was
well.
The other one that he mentioned.
And he mentioned the entire cornerback room.
Yeah.
Like, that was the
and
way he kind of summed
asked
it up.
Him about corners, because you know, we know, or we have a pretty good idea who your top two are, but after that, you know, who are the guys? Gavin Jenkins is obviously somebody who's had a really, really good fall. And we'll get to talk to DVD on Friday about the corners. But Gavin's a young guy that's really stepping up. But he mentioned some of the other youngsters as well.
Yeah, no. That was one. Scrap Richardson, that was the one that kind of like stuck out to me. And then
yeah, I think he was the fourth guy he mentioned.
And then I forget if it was something that got discussed the other day or if I was reading this somewhere, but just Shamar... I know Golish pronounce. Is it Arnu?
He calls him Arnu, so I'll let. I don't know.
I think I've just Arnu always. Read Arnu because of the cadence of his name. I need to pull up the Taylor Bryan does have the media guide out. I'm sure there's a pronunciation
sure
guide in there, but he's been a guy who's been talked about in the same vein as Gavin. I think a lot. Just big dude, super athletic, and
Scrap's a guy that's in that same vein. Fits all three that of those mold. Guys are pretty good size.
I'm intrigued. I guess we'll hear about it a lot more Friday, but I'm intrigued to hear about like what the progress has been of Scrap making that transition.
Yeah, from receiver to corner.
Because he was also, I know, he was sidelined, I think, a little bit earlier this week. But just, you know, hearing about those young guys, I don't know. I think they're the physicality of it all, like their size, the raw potential there is really exciting. And then like, what's your expectation level on the Bryce Kane thing?
I think Alex Golish was straight up about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the receiver room, he's further down on the depth chart on the receiver room.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we talked about some of those guys at corner, he's a guy with his athleticism, I think could at least get there. And I think defensive back may prepare him to be more of a special teams player than being a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I'd expect to see Bryce playing much at corner this year in games, you know, unless a game's decided. But, you know, he's a guy that played both ways in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not as big as some of the other guys. He'll be one of the smaller corners that Auburn would have. But I think it was just a situation where he was looking up at least two guys. And when Chaz Nimrod moves inside to the slot, he may have been fourth there on the depth chart. So I think it's just credit to him that he'll go ahead and give it a shot and see how things go out there at corner. But we said it last week. I think this is a much deeper team.
Yeah.
Than we've seen at Auburn over the last few years. And there are going to be some guys that I think folks expected to see that may not. You know, you may not see them much unless it is special teams.
Yeah, no, and that's honestly, I mean, that's a really good point about that being preparation for special teams. But I just, especially going back and rereading it, was just I did not realize like the back end of what Golish had said about Bryce of like, you know, we're telling him that like this is an opportunity to, you know, it doesn't mean that you're leaving wide receiver forever. And if anything, like,
yeah, they said,
you could,
I mean, he could still work. He could still work a little at both.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. I'm just, we're going to know more about it, obviously, once the season gets off and rolling. But I'm just very curious, like, how colorful this offense gets this year, just considering, like you said, the depth of things.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, wonder if there's a way that they sneak him in there in any sort of way on anything. And that's really getting far down the road, but certainly just an interesting development to watch these last few days, for sure.
Indeed. We're just underway here on the Wednesday drive. Hey, it wasn't all defense either. I mean, we'll talk about some of the comments Alex Golish had about the offensive side of the ball, because it sounded like they had their share of the moments as well. We'd love for you to join in. You can call us on the drive hotline. Sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. Come on in. Bill and Adam, Drew at the controls here on the Wednesday Drive.
We're at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser, and Drew at the controls here on this Wednesday afternoon. I want to let you know something special coming up. The drive and on the line, going to be on the road this Friday at Winter Timber Outdoors, right there next to the Walmart Marketplace across from the mall. They are celebrating their first year anniversary this Saturday. And we will be out there on Friday. So looking forward to that. Don and I will be out there. So stop by if you get a chance and join us. All right, we were talking about what we learned from Alex Golish about today's scrimmage and Auburn football as they get closer to, well, I guess Monday starts mock game week, right? Or maybe Sunday, I guess, does.
I think so. It's, yeah, no, coming up, because this is technically, I mean, this is what, the last week of it, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got, I keep getting that mixed up. I keep missing a week in there, but it's, you've got one more full week after this and then the actual game week. All right, we got there. We got there. But yeah, no, next week, game week starts. The hypothetical one, the one to prepare for the actual one. There we go.
And you know, I've been around quite a few, you know, coaches that have, you know, mock game day. But I don't know that this is the first one that I can remember that mock game week. I mean, where they want the whole week to be exactly what they do the week of the game. So they're not just going to talk about it. They're gonna go through it the week before the week leading up to Baylor.
Really? That's not, I wonder how many other coaches do that, I guess. Because hearing that, I just would have been like, you know, like, I didn't think much about whether or not it happened last year, and it really did not. It didn't happen under Freeze at all. I can't think far back enough to Harsin, but
how many things though has Alex Golish done that it's like you go, well, that makes sense, but then you realize it's not something that we've seen or that you've heard much about.
Right. No, like it's definitely
that's again the attention to detail.
Yeah, it's a. I don't know. I'm not surprised at all that's something he does, but it's, I guess we've had that more than once of, you know, I don't know why more people don't do that. I guess that does make a lot of sense.
We looked yesterday, Jason looked things up yesterday, and that's something that's not uncommon in the NFL.
Okay.
So that looks like that's where Alex Golish got there. We were talking and it was while we were talking with Andy Burcham. Mm-hmm. And Andy said, you know, he was intrigued by that and said, yes, and quite a few of these things that Alex Golish has done, you know, we've got the first Tiger Talk is coming up, you know, next week. And he said Alex Golish will be there. And that's one of the questions he wants to ask Alex Golish is, where did he get these ideas? What, you know, from what coaches or what, you know, because he's doing some things that, as I just said a couple of minutes ago, a lot of times you go, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But then you haven't seen people doing that before, and you wonder why not. But I think that's also really interesting, and I think it'll be a good question and a good answer from Alex Golish, because he's obviously, you know, either gone through or known people who have done this and it has worked well, and that's why he's doing it. I wonder if he did this. I would guess maybe he did that at USF because, you know, he took them to stay away from camp, mm-hmm. you know, from campus, just like he did Auburn here over the last 3 years.
Yeah, no, I'm surely like that has to be something that he's already pulled, just like that. I mean, the 3 year, like, obviously, it wasn't a runway. You're doing the job. Like, I'm sure you're present as you're doing that. But you've had 3 years now as a head coach stepping into, you know, now the not just Power Four but Power Two stage. Like, I wonder how much of it, like, you know, with the NFL adjacent stuff. Like, I wonder if there was anything as far as learning wise from, you know, maybe folks in Tampa who were with the Buccaneers or anything like that. But by and large, like, that is one thing top to bottom that's just impressed me with him is this knack to, like, just seek out the information. You know, I mean, I think about, this was back in the spring, I think, but all the stuff with Gus being back at practice, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And I know a lot of people viewed that through a lens of, I don't know, a lot of people threw like a curse being lifted out there. But I mean, the big thing to take away from that is you're learning from somebody who's done it.
There's an opportunity for you to, you know, for you to get a little insight, a little information, maybe a little help.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
There's always, like, there is always something to learn, and that's, you know, I mean, once you reach that stage, like, that's a really important thing, I think, to, you know, especially, I think a lot about Brian Harsin, but, like, that's a really important thing to keep in mind. Like, there is always something to learn from somebody, and Alex Golish seems pretty good at doing that.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Well, as we were saying going into the break, you know, we talked about some of the defenders and some of the guys on defense that we heard stood out today, but sounded like the offense made some plays. There were, I mean, Alex Golish said some explosive plays, some long drives. He brought up Bryce Brown, Keyshawn Singleton, Chaz Nimrod, told us when he was talking about running backs that that Jeremiah Cobb didn't get a lot of work today because they know what they have in him, and Omar Mabson and Bryson Washington continues to get more of an opportunity as he, you know, gets healthier, more comfortable, and just really showing them more as practice continues to get into that playing rotation.
Yeah, I thought that was the biggest thing for sure, was just hearing what was said about Bryson Washington today. Like, that's it has felt, even though I don't think it's been all that uncertain, like it's just felt weirdly like rocky around him the last maybe week and a half or so. You're not really sure what the outlook mm-hmm. is, and after today it's like, okay, like this guy is in that mix, and I don't know if he's going to be RB2 or RB3 necessarily, but after today, it's like I don't see any reason for concern moving forward that guy may fall much further down the pecking order. We'll see. There's always time, I guess. But that was, I think, the biggest thing as far as just like the offensive playmakers today that I took away from it, was very much like, okay, like Bryson Washington showed this coaching staff what he can do today. I mean, like, that's what Alex Kolisch said. So that should be a nice piece if you can get that in there every Saturday, however it looks. That, and then what, I need to figure out what Keyshawn Singleton's dog looks like. That was my second biggest takeaway. I didn't realize he had
Keyshawn's
a dog.
Dog and cat.
Yeah. I have seen his cat. His cat was, during the transfer window when those guys were coming in and out. I forget when all of it was, but eventually he brought his cat to the facility at one point. Oh, if man. I'm right, I think it's a little black cat. It's
probably a good thing I wasn't there, because I mean, what Alex Kolisch said, I've got this. I mean, cat dander. I mean, I cannot.
It's terrible for you.
It is. It wasn't when I was younger, but I mean, it's awful now.
I'm complete inverse. I had a terrible cat allergy when I was really young. We got cats, and then I think I took a Claritin.
Built up an immunity to it.
I made a point to take a Claritin every day for like a year, and then one day I just forgot to do it, and I wasn't sneezing, I wasn't rubbing my eyes, and it was like, yeah, like I was fine after that. Cats are hit or miss for me though. It's like every other one I meet, pretty much.
Well, I mean, it depends. It used to be long haired cats, mm-hmm. but now it just seems like most cats. I don't know. I guess you know, the immune system's breaking down as I get older or something like that. But we had. Elder son and his family at the house, and they have mm-hmm. two dogs and a cat.
Yeah.
And the cat had to stay in what used to be his room. It just stayed in his room the whole time.
Yeah.
Which was fine for the most part, until, without my knowledge, one of the kids would go in and play with the cat and then like come sit in my lap.
Yeah.
And it's like, all of a sudden I'd realize, man, my eyes are itching like crazy, and I'm struggling. It's like, oh, somebody around the cat.
That's the worst.
All right, today, as a matter of fact, when I left the house, my wife is cleaning the room, trying to clean it up, because it's also the room you go through to access the attic. So okay. I haven't been able to get in the attic, not that I've wanted to, because it's 1,000 degrees in there, but she's trying to get it cleaned up. And one thing that had happened that we didn't really realize is our granddaughter had gone in, and we have a bunch of both of our sons had a ton of Matchbox cars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all just, you know, and the kids love those.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they were all out and had been in the room with the cat. So it's like, what are we going to do about these? It's like, I don't know. I don't know, give them to the kids, throw them away. I mean, it's like, I look online and it says, Use like a soft toothbrush and individually clean. And we got like hundreds of those things. It's like, I'm gonna maybe throw them in the tub for a little bit. And
there you go.
Turn a hair dryer on them after after we let the water out and hope that they're okay.
That's probably the best way to go about
anyway,
it.
Anyway, but yeah, so way off the subject. But yeah, Alex Guller's talking about the not being around the dog and cat maybe has helped Keyshawn Singleton here in preseason camp.
I really like the way that he like... harps on guys might be the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Because
he has to keep yelling at him.
I never doubt for a second that it's serious, but it's like he's so, he makes it very lighthearted.
Yeah, he does.
And were you around, I guess that would have been, was that yesterday for Jared Smith? Did you talk to him at all?
I didn't get to hear Jared. No, I was over with the coaches.
I guess he talked in the spring, maybe. I don't think I was around for that.
Yeah, I heard him in the spring.
Okay, I don't think I was around for it, but I just was. I remember when he was a freshman, you don't really realize it till you're up close to him, that frame, but like mm-hmm. the weight that he has put on, and also just like, I mean, he kind of looks older than me to me, like in the face, the way he talks, the way he kind of stands.
Right.
But he was talking about it yesterday, and it was just smile on his face the whole time. He was like, yeah, Coach Hustler, like, just gets after me, dogs me day in, day out. And he's like, so does Durkin. He's like, it's nonstop, but like, they wouldn't be doing it if like they didn't want that much more from me. And it was kind of like, okay, like that is a very like good, healthy perspective to have on that. But it was funny to hear Golish today, like harping on the same things.
Well, you know, you remember, I mean, that's one of the first times we heard Alex Golish talk. He talked about, you know, coaching the players hard,
mm-hmm.
and you can't. I mean, I think that's something that over the last few years, I think Hugh was a little, gun shy of doing that in, you know, concern that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings, they're just going to leave,
mm-hmm.
which they can do,
yeah.
Now, but I don't get the feeling that anybody on this staff takes it easy on any of their players if they feel like they need it.
Yeah, and I think that's like, I think there's a really constructive way to do that, and like I get the vibe from this group that is just like they know how to do that. Like, they know how to be really constructive with it, because I think there's an argument to be made at the end of the day that, like, you try to recruit to this culture and this, you know, mindset, you know, you want that throughout your whole locker room. And it's, in a way, like, you're going to weed out the guys who don't fit that mold. And like, I, you know, there's always something to be said for it. It's funny thinking about the way Freeze coached and going into last year, everything that went into, like, these personality assessments, mm-hmm. and whatnot, and thinking, like, I remember thinking early on, like, there was some merit to that, like,
yeah,
worth exploring.
There
and,
is.
And now that we're here, it's just kind of like, man, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess that alone certainly wasn't going to be enough to turn things around, but just funny thinking about going from being so particular in how you treat everybody to now it's like, we're going to coach all of you hard, but, like, there's, you know, that feels so much more constructive and beneficial than any idea that came from last offseason.
Well, the players have to know that you care about them,
yeah,
too. It's not just you're always down on them.
And that's
always down on them. I mean, you've got to. There's got to be positive,
mm-hmm.
as well. And then when something good does happen, after they've been, if they get on you about, mm-hmm. something and you make a change, then they need to respond there.
Yeah.
And he one of the things Golish does say, he constantly is talking about who he's proud of.
Yeah.
I mean, he's proud. That was the funny, that was it Bryson Washington?
Mm-hmm.
What he said, I'm not proud of him yet.
Yeah.
But he's getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was him. That was him. That was just, man. I think that's a really good point. Like, that is the surface of it. That's what you need.
You know, well, he's got two young kids, fairly young kids. I mean, a good parent, hopefully, is going to be able to do that. I mean, you need to be able to let your kids know what they need to be doing. What, you know, there has to be some discipline, but they can't just always feel like, well, you're just being mean to me all the time, and
mm-hmm.
and there's no reason for you to be that way. So no, so that's what we've seen, and yes, he does. I mean, it is really funny when he talks about guys that he jumps on and continually does. Most of those guys are guys that he's also been talking about how well they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. I mean, we've been hearing ton of good stuff about Jared Smith, especially. I mean, Keyshawn's one of those guys who I feel like we've been hearing that sort of vibe of, like, he's got to lock it in and have it every day. But
Jared's absolutely the same way.
And I mean, you know, I feel like I've seen it watching, like, Keyshawn especially, of like, oh, this kid has it. Like, whether it's simply the ability or the rapport.
What did he say today? He made a just short comment about Keyshawn, about how good he can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's been around a few pretty good receivers in his time, Alex Golish has. And you know, I was asked about Keyshawn, and I said, look, he's not the fastest guy, but he is so physical, and he's a guy that can get open, but he can catch it when he's not open, and he's strong enough to make big plays.
That's the thing, is I need to look at, like, the exact measurements. I will say, what Golish did say today was, when his off the field process is right, he could be as special as anybody in the country.
As anybody in the country, yep.
I think it's one of those things where I don't think I ever fully process, like, the frame and the size that he carries, because if I'm right, like, he
looks like a tight end.
Yes.
Auburn's had tight ends not as big as him.
Yes, and it's just one of those things where when I see him in passing, like, it doesn't necessarily register at that size. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see it, like, against competition,
right,
later this year, because that's just always one of those things where sometimes that stuff pops for you in that way. But yeah, like, he's one of those ones where I feel like I've seen that. Like, okay, if this guy is locked in, you know, like that, I see the vision, you know, it's hard not to.
And he's a guy that had another, it sounded like about a 40-yard touchdown today.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had, you know, his big play. He had a couple of huge plays in the first scrimmage and another big one today. So yes, this was a day where sounded like the offense that, and that may have been why Alex Gullish was in a pretty upbeat mood, because mm-hmm. you know he wants to see his offense progressing, and he knows what DJ Durkin's got out there on the other side.
Mm-hmm. And especially, I mean, hearing about what some of the longer, like, lengthier drives that they had today.
He said 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 play drives. So,
which is, that's the kind of stuff you need. I mean, however fast you want to run tempo, like, if you can't.
You do that, you really wear somebody out.
Right. Like, if you can't learn how to slow it down, like, that's, you know, that's what we always, I mean, well, we always called it growing up Snyder ball. I mean, it was mm-hmm. kind of just up the road. But point being, that as well as, I mean, hearing about, because I think the big push with Jared Smith lately has been, you know, Coleman Hutzler talked about it yesterday of, okay, we got through the first block, everything, and he's shining, and now we're in this next block, and he's learning to, you know, play when he's not necessarily always feeling like 100% rested, so to speak, you know, being healthy.
When he talked about mm-hmm. being out there on mm-hmm. the 8th play or something like that, the 9th play.
Yeah, and that, like, they saw the returns that they've been hoping to see from him, and so that's, I mean, that's the kind of stuff, especially, I mean, in this weather right now, like, not to go back to that, but that feels very significant, especially at this point.
Oh, and the thing with Jared, too, is to be able to be a run stopper as well as the pass rusher. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, his length, his twitch ability, I mean, he's a guy that you know is a pass rusher, but he needs to be, you know, that all-around guy.
Yeah.
That gives him such flexibility when you've got Jared and Deshaun to be able to play either side.
Mm-hmm. The sort of the versatility, like, work that I feel like has been part of the discussion, especially like the last couple days, that's one that I'm also like, I'm excited to see that play out, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, it seems like, I guess this is maybe Brad Wilson's group, but in terms of like outer linebacker, you look during Indy period, you know, Deshaun's not, I don't know that I've looked around to see, like, okay, where the heck are the rest of the edges, but like there's a little group of guys that, whether it's box linebackers or edge rushers, all kind of work with Wilson through this Indy period. And so you just, I don't know, feel like you start seeing a lot of these guys, like has been said, cross train, and, you know, simply seeing Womack and Smith out there at the same time during 11-on-11, like, that's exciting enough. I'm interested to see what the other combinations are, because I think there are going to be some interesting ones.
Oh, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, love to hear from you if you've got any questions, thoughts here as Auburn getting closer and closer. You know, we're just barely over 2 weeks away from the opening game in Atlanta. Love for you to join us, though. 334-321-1390. Bill and Adam here on the Wednesday Drive.
And AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio on this blazingly hot Wednesday. Love for you to join us. I'm sure you've got some thoughts or questions. Look, I try to be as, you know, I don't want to be a sunshine pumper or anything like that. But I was asked this the other day, and my answer is absolutely yes. It's like, do I feel better about this team than I did at the start of fall practice? Do I feel better about the possibility of this team being able to get things turned around? Now, I'm not talking about a playoff mm-hmm. berth or double figure wins or anything like that. I think they've got a chance if they can stay healthy, because I mm-hmm. sure feel like their direction is absolutely on point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there were some things, like the biggest just stopper for me, so to speak, was, okay, where is Stanton Ramil at in all this? Mm-hmm.
And a second scrimmage where he completes the whole thing.
Not only to see that he's at full health, but like you've got, I don't know, the way that Jacob Strand has come on, I think is,
sounds like he's very likely to be the starter.
Yes, at I think left guard. And then, you know, I feel like we haven't talked about it much of late, but Cole Skinner just kind of seemingly shored up that right guard spot, which you weren't really sure about. You didn't know if he was still going to be kind of a depth.
When you heard about Ty Buster, you thought, oh, my goodness, because he seemed to be the surest bet of somebody probably, you know, to start inside if he wasn't a tackle, if Stanton was okay at tackle.
Yeah, and so I think ultimately, like, because I don't want to use too many examples, but, like, that's I think one that sums it up. You've had a lot of guys, whether they have come on, whether they have, like, solidified their status, and I think you've still got a couple guys figuring that out, but that to me has been like the most confidence inspiring thing, just the way that you've sort of seen this progression for a lot of these fellas. And I just, yeah, like I think I'm in the same place as you. It's I'm not expecting a playoff run or a playoff appearance. But I think you're going to be where you need to be, like as far as certainly bare minimum. But I would imagine that, you know, to me, bare minimum this year would be like 6-6 in a bowl game. And I like 7-5, 8-4, like that to me, if you're making that prediction that specific, that far out, like I think that's a pretty healthy one.
Get me through September. If you get if I'm 4-0, you know, if Auburn's 4-0 going into October, I think. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. This team's got a chance to win 7 or 8 or more.
If you're at 4,
if they beat Florida and Vandy to go 2-0 in conference, look, I mean, that's something they haven't done in I don't know how long, and when back to back home conference games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but it's been a struggle for Auburn the last few years trying to do that.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's that's. Right now, with where you've been, I think it's pretty healthy as a program for your biggest competition to be, looking in the mirror and being that much better than yourself the next day. You've kind of hit that point after the last 5 years, and for that kind of momentum to swing, like, I think that'd be pretty significant. A lot of people seem to like have their eyes drawn to that Florida game, and
it's hard not to.
It understandably, I think it's still a little early. As much as we are talking optimism here about Auburn, like, I still want to see both of those teams go through a couple things.
Yeah, I was going to, the thing is you can't afford to look ahead.
Right.
Look ahead and lose one of those first two.
For all you know, DJ Lagway's been, cooking up a stellar comeback season in Waco all summer.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I mean, it sounds like he's having a good preseason.
Right. Like there's,
I mean, maybe a change of scenery is good for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question he's athletic.
Yeah, that's a guy who I feel like that Florida program, circling back to them, just has a lot of parallels to the struggles that Auburn has had in recent years of getting big time talent, acquiring it, and not being able to capitalize on it. And I think Lagway was far and away the shining example for them.
Yes.
But you've absolutely got to take it one step at a time. But I don't think 4-0 is an unrealistic view of the start. I don't know how likely it is, but like, it's exciting that you can even ponder it and see a path toward that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, going into last year, a lot of Florida fans thought they had the next Lenoris Sellers. Of course, Lenoris didn't have a great year last year in South Carolina either. But I mean, there are a lot of people that felt like, man, that's two of the scariest guys to face here in the league would be DJ and Lenoris. Lenoris, of course, at South Carolina, where they have guys dropping like flies. And that sort of leads into something we haven't even mentioned yet. There was some tough news for Auburn today, as Alex Golish confirming that J.J. Falk is out, apparently a collarbone, and he may miss the entirety of the regular season.
Yeah, I think that's what kind of I think he said straight up that he's not expecting to have him back for the regular season.
Yeah, like late November would be as early as he'd get back.
Yeah, so that's tough blow, because that's a kid who, I don't know that there's ever any way to quantify it, but just being the sibling of a guy who's played in this program, I think that usually gives you a healthy half step. I don't know that it's something you can bank on being all of your success, but he's made a lot of strides himself. I think he put on 15 pounds from last season to this year and looked like one of those guys who was going to be kind of all over the front for Auburn, so to speak.
Yeah, was it Hutzler or Von Trell? It was Hutzler that was talking mm-hmm. about him. I mean, his ability to be able to play either side and provide quality play there off the as a backup.
Right. So that's one where you hate to see that, because that's a kid who you never know. I mean, if he had kind of popped onto the scene sophomore year, like that could be a real big jump for him, but. Beyond that, I mean, I'm trying to think. Golish didn't. There weren't any other major health.
No. I mean, he said pretty much everybody that was 100% went through the scrimmage. They held a few guys out. I believe Cody Sigler is one of the guys they held out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fine. It's just you didn't need him out there, and they want to see what some of these other guys there on the defensive front can do.
Mm-hmm. I guess we're going into game week next week. Maybe it's a bit of a delayed question, but that's one thing I'd like to kind of, even if it's just asking like more so the who, but you know, especially with what got talked about with Jeremiah Cobb today, like, mm-hmm. okay, who are the guys that you're at the point of like, not to say that they've, you know, I think he said that Jeremiah hadn't made it yet, but they've seen plenty of reps and that they've seen him grow a lot in that. Like, is that him and Cody Sigler and who else would you put in that category? You know, like I wonder what Golish's answer would be to that.
Somebody told me today they didn't notice Jake out there.
Okay, Johnson.
I could see mm-hmm. him. I could see him being, you know, especially guys that have Stanton. They want to know that Stanton mm-hmm. is healthy, and they're being very careful with him, you know, around the scrimmages. Because yesterday he wasn't really working. Mm-hmm. Yesterday he was just getting a little treatment and riding a bike, but today he goes through the scrimmage. Guys that have been injured and are sort of proven commodities,
right?
And I think have taken leadership roles are guys that I can see them going, look, you've earned a bit of a rest here. Sit back and help us coach, because that's what some of these guys do and mm-hmm. do really well.
Yeah. Jake John, I mean, that's a really good example of it. Because then I think about other guys, and it's like, you know, I don't know that I would necessarily throw like Xavier Atkins in there from a standpoint of like, you kind of want that guy things, you know?
And I could also see DJ wanting to cause as much havoc as possible,
right.
Especially if the offense is hitting a big play or having a long drive. You want somebody in there that's going to blow it up.
Yeah, no, like it's that's the funny thing is I just wonder what that mix of guys has been, because
that's a really good question.
You know, I mean, I would imagine a lot of it is those transfer guys who you've seen kind of, you know, assert themselves, so to speak. But ultimately, like, that's one I've been wondering about.
Well, I would imagine, I mean, Jonathan Echols has been out for a few days, mm-hmm. so I would imagine he wasn't out there. So today would have probably been a big day for, like, Tree.
Yeah.
Xavier Newsom.
Tree, for sure. Arliss Boardingham, too. Yep. That's a guy who, I mean.
Man, Arliss is a guy that it was, you didn't hear anything about mm-hmm. back in the spring, and you started hearing some things over the summer, and he's another one. You were talking about players that have really stepped it up here during this preseason camp. There's no doubt Arliss Boardingham's one of those.
Another name that I think is maybe going to be more of a rotational guy, I don't necessarily think he's going to start, but Buddy Mathis is a big one.
I think absolutely.
Really big one.
Absolutely so. I think he may, you know, he's – every time I've had an opportunity to see where they're lined up, he's getting some work with the ones.
Yes, and so, like, I think that's a pretty significant one. Going back to Arliss, were you around for Larry Scott's like availability? Mm-hmm. Did you, cause I was over, I think I was talking to Jake Johnson, but like reading the transcript, like I just thought it was really interesting how in depth he went generally speaking with these guys, but also like the stuff he had to say about Arliss, I thought was just interesting of, you know, you heard a lot about Buddy needing to like acclimate to the playbook.
Right.
And Larry was really honest about the fact that like they needed Arliss to do a better job of like almost like embracing the resources, not just the process per se,
right.
but like, you know, buying into the nutrition and some of those things. And I guess it sounds he's
to get himself into the kind of shape.
Absolutely.
And mindset, everything mm-hmm. that they want. But apparently he's done that.
Yes. And so like that being the jump for him, I thought the one line that I really liked from Larry was, it was like, we've had to remind him that you see the fruits of this labor when you're actually like playing football on Saturdays. And he's like, I think that's kind of kicked him into the right gear, but that's an exciting one too.
Didn't Jake mention the fact that, I mean, Arliss being a fifth year guy like mm-hmm. him is sort of,
yes.
you know, I mean, these guys realize, hey, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to play football after this year, I need to show something now.
Absolutely. And I kind of wrote about yesterday for the tight end room that it's like, you've got them. And then I think he's a fascinating case in his own right, but simply experience. You've also got Hunter Herring in that realm, in that room. But
yeah, he's a guy that's also been banged up a little bit lately.
Been banged up, and I just wonder how you're going to deploy him. Like, do we get one Hunter Herring pass attempt this year?
Oh, I hope. I absolutely think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
But you've got really two guys who have played multiple years in this league, fifth-year guys who mm-hmm. – the way it's shaping up right now are probably going to be leading the charge in that room.
Yeah, I would think they're one too.
That's the pecking order of like the value of these rooms right now is thinking about that. I struggle with it because there's potential to pop at like pop in the right ways, mm-hmm. you know, at a lot of these rooms, a lot of these spots.
That is Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. We'll get Adam to talk about, you know, what all's going there, going on with the Advertiser and more. Love to hear from you. We've got another hour plus to go here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Live with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser. And Adam, and you were talking a little while ago, and you've been working on some things for a while and getting them out now here as fall camp is really, you know, sort of, I guess, camp's about to come to a close. We're about to get into, you know, game prep here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just, I feel like I should have spent more time writing than talking the last few weeks, especially. But like, no, we've got like just a lot going on of, you know, everything's been written. We're just waiting for the published date. But as far as Auburn's like staff experience and the whole breakdown of that within the SEC, as well as had a conversation with longtime MAC assistant Toledo and Bowling Green, if those trip any wires. But Mike Ward, he coached with, and at least I guess I would say coached with, five current Auburn staffers at a certain point in his career, and whether it was recruited them, they also played for him. I believe it's seven guys on this staff had a tie to Mike Ward is his name. So got to chat a little bit with Mike, and we'll have a little sidebar with that, just about, you know, what he's seen from these guys and what it means to, you know, for them to all be under the same roof, so to speak, right? Yeah. And working for the same program. And then wrapping up a little bit of a profile series on the front office. You know, Andrew Warsaw, him and I, we had a great, like, I think it was like a half-hour chat. Got a couple stories from that, as well as just a little spotlight on Jarris McIntyre and what he's been doing with alumni relations.
He got a shout-out.
He did get a shout-out today. Got to connect with Takiyo Spikes for that, too. So we'll have a little bit of Takiyo in there. And then a spotlight on Harding Harper, who's executive director of recruiting and, you know, kind of a, especially for our readership, local guy, played at Carver Montgomery. And then Alex Fagan, who's really kind of like director of scouting. And Alex is really just a foxhole friend of Alex, has been on with Golish for years now. And so, yeah, should be having that out, you know, here in the next couple weeks. But a lot of stuff coming up for sure.
And folks can find it and follow you?
Absolutely, at MontgomeryAdvertiser.com. If you're looking to go straight to the source, just click sports and it should lead you to everything you need. And, you know, if you're looking for me personally anywhere on social media, just search my last name, C-O-L-E, and the word reporter, and you're going to find me wherever you're looking for me.
Adam and I back with hour number two. Love for you to join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well here on this hump day. Bill and Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser here in the studio. Drew is at the controls, and we're wide open. We've got the phone lines open. The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. Auburn with its second scrimmage, the second final full scrimmage. About 100 plays or so, Alex Golish said Auburn went today. And he seemed pretty pleased, both offensively and defensively. Didn't hear him talk. He didn't say anything about the sloppiness. They must have cut down on some of the pre-snap penalties. But he definitely was pleased with the improvement tackling-wise.
Absolutely. Like that, I think the tackling thing was, that's what stuck out off the rip.
He said he came with some violence, I believe, today.
Right, which like that just stuck out from the jump of like, okay, that was like, I think the first thing he really laid into last week. So it's like, we've there was a turnaround today, clearly. And then to hear about, I know we were talking about it in the last couple segments, but especially like just for both sides having to go through those long drives, and I mean, just so much situational. It sounded really productive in a lot of the positive ways, whereas maybe last week was productive in the ways that you learned you needed to get a lot better.
Oh, yes. We'll talk more about that, but we'd love to hear from you. And let's go ahead and get to the drive hotline. And Mitch gets us started this hour. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Hey, Bill, you know you're getting old when...
I know I'm getting old. I'm not getting old, Mitch.
Oh, okay. Well, you're old. I'm getting old. But it's amazing. I am actually talking to you guys through my cell phone, through my new hearing aid.
Oh, goodness, Mitch. Well, good. I'm glad it works.
Yeah. My wife has been on me for about 2 years. I've got hearing loss due to my my service in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally went and got them. Kind of getting used to them because I mean, I can like move my hat around. And I can hear my hair rustling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, it's good that you still have some, Mitch. Hearing and hair.
That's true. But I was at one of my customers this morning. They got a bunch of TVs and stuff in there, and the SEC Network was playing The Prayer at Jordan-Hare from 2013.
Oh, yeah.
And I happened to walk in. I mean, it was like when it was under a minute to go in the game, you know, and I caught the actual, you know, the Hail Mary pass and everything. The thing I've forgotten about is that Georgia drove down the field pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, it's scary. I mean, they got down to inside the 30.
Yeah, and but I'd forgotten, and I think it was Dee Ford, but with 3 seconds to go, Murray scrambling out of the pocket, and right before, you know, he tries to throw it. I mean, he gets nailed and just driven into the ground on the last play. I think that was that Dee Ford?
I think it was. You're right. I mean, I need to go back and watch the end of that. But it got very scary, you know, after everybody's going crazy after the unbelievable catch by Ricardo. I mean, it felt like, yeah, that's it. And then here comes Georgia, you know, down the field with a great opportunity to win. Auburn blew such a big lead in that game. To be able to come back and win it. That's something that's very unusual to, you know, and have a lead as big as Auburn did, blow it completely, and then, you know, need and get the miracle to win it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, weren't we up 21-3 against Florida State in the championship game?
That's probably right, too. Thanks for reminding me.
Well, I mean, I was there, yeah. Bill. I know you were.
Should have been more. I mean, if everybody in the press box, I know Barrett Salee and I were like sitting next to each other, and we're going, they're going to fake this punt. They're going to fake this punt, and everybody, you know, all the defenders for Auburn turned their back, and as the guy ran for the first down. Yep.
Right, yeah, because I think I remember the week after listening to the Feinbaum show, the Alabama fans were giving us hell because we blew an eight. We had an 18-point lead.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think it was like 21-3. And mm-hmm. what did we lose? 34-31.
I don't even remember the score
against Florida State.
Yeah,
it was 34-31. Yeah, okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well. Anyway, today, 21 years ago today, two young kids, the wife and I, took the plunge and got married.
Well, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. I never thought we would have lasted 21 years, but we have. So, anyway, I know I could have looked this up. But has the Little League World Series started yet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we were just watching, and the team from Phoenix City was blanked by Washington in their first game. So they fall back into the loser's bracket. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ooh. Wow. Okay. All right, then. Well, I guess I'll have to go check on that and everything. But all right, guys. Other thing. the Auburn players, you know, and the coaches doing the push-ups and stuff like that, that reminds me of when we used to finish our PT sessions, we used to do, and I'm sure Auburn probably doesn't do this, but we would do 25 push-ups, and then we would do what we call memorials for guys in our career field that had passed in either, you know, in battle or from an accident or just, you know, whatever. So really liked that Auburn is doing push-ups and stuff like that, kind of like we did. So anyway, that's all I got, guys.
All right, Mitch, good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Yes, we've talked a good bit about information that we got from Alex Golish or have gleaned elsewhere about Auburn's second and final scrimmage here today. Again, if you weren't with us in the first hour, the Auburn has lost a player. We were just saying in the last couple of days, Auburn's been fortunate at this point. I mean, the only player that we knew was going to be out was Devin Williams, and he'd been out for a while. As a matter of fact, missed last year, then suffered another injury. Saw him out there running around yesterday, getting work with the non-contact guys. So he's working his way back from that. But there hadn't been anyone who figured in the playing rotation to be out for any length of time until – with Ty Buster, but I mean, there hadn't been anybody that had gone down in the preseason practice until J.J. Falk.
Yeah, no, which is just, it's again, that's one of those ones where you don't want to, like, I don't know that there's much of a silver lining to find in it. I mean, certainly for J.J. Falk, and I think in a lot of ways for the program, like, it's, I know he wasn't projected to necessarily be like a starter this year, but as you said, I mean, just as they try to map out like the versatility and the cross training of this front, I mean that's a guy who looked like maybe a box linebacker at some point moving over to edge. Like, you lose a ton of versatility, and you lose
he's
depth.
He's put on some weight too.
Right, exactly. I was looking at it today. He was, I think, listed at 244 last year. He's at 260 now. Like, you see the size jump. You know, he's starting to fill out a frame that looks a lot more like his brother's. So that's I guess if you're grateful for anything, it's that it wasn't, I guess, a starting guy. But even then, like, that's a huge blow, you know. Like, there's nothing to celebrate about it, for sure. But all in all, yeah, like, you hope you avoid anything else like that moving forward.
And apparently it's collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
I've already had one person go, well, he's out till November with a collarbone, and it's like, you got to make sure that thing is completely knit back together.
Especially, I mean, you know, in a sport like this, like that's
with the kind of contact you're going to take as a lineman around the shoulders.
And I just think about the biggest set of padding that a football player wears that's beyond right a helmet. There. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, that's got to be, you got to make sure that's right. You got to make sure that's strong and in place for sure. But
it's a kind of injury that you don't realize how bad it is a lot of the time when it first happens. It just feels like a bruise.
Okay.
I can relate to that as a youngster. I did one of the probably one of the cartooniest looking things that probably if somebody had a camera back in those days and had filmed it, probably would have been one of the greatest memes you've ever seen. I had climbed up on my dad's car. I think we were playing hide and seek or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I climbed up on top of the car in the garage and was lying up on the roof. And my dad came out and got in the car, and I was still on the roof. And as he started backing out, I went to stand up, and he hit the gas a little bit. And I did like a flip and landed. I mean, I would have landed face first, but somehow I held my face up enough where it didn't smash the face, but I broke both collarbones.
Oh my gosh, Bill, how old were you?
I was four.
Man,
just a little kid. I've always been
that's like
accident prone,
but
I heal.
Kind of impressive.
I always heal pretty well.
Yeah, that's what matters, right?
Yeah, but I remember it didn't hurt that bad. I thought it was just bruised.
Really? Okay.
And then, I mean, you know, it just depends on the kind of break, though. I mean, it depends, if it's a complete break or if it's cracked or whatever. But I mean, still, yes, for a football player, collarbone is something that's going to keep him out for a while. The good news is, I mean, once it is healed, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not, you don't have to worry about, are you going to re-injure? It's like a knee or something like that. I mean, this is nothing that should deter his career.
That's good, because that's a guy who you hope that's late November's the worst case.
Yeah.
And you hope
you've got something to play for.
Absolutely.
When he's healthy and able to come back. Wouldn't that be nice?
Absolutely.
If you're playing after late November.
Especially not only like the prospect of having him involved in potentially playing beyond, you know, the Iron Bowl's exciting, like you'd want that, but even still, like just big picture, like that's a guy who, I don't know, I think that guy's going to be top of your rotation.
Oh, I agree.
You know, potentially really big piece of that defense in the next couple of years. So you hope that's a swift recovery because, like you said, like just big piece of the picture moving forward right
and,
there.
And Alex Golish talked a little bit about some of the guys in there. I mean, obviously, Jared Smith and Deshaun Womack are the first two names that you hear there. But he mentioned Chris Murray, C.K. Murray, as being a guy who is pushing for being in the top two. That tells you the kind of camp he has had, because he's a guy that, you know, just got he just found out he was eligible toward the end of spring practice and was still working to get back into playing football, college football playing shape over the summer.
There was a lot of talk of not just like getting in shape to play football again, but having to go from like getting your body in shape to move your career forward, NFL combine, pro days, things like that, to getting into actual playing shape. And I guess the good news there is that you're already in shape. You're just in a different kind of shape.
Right.
But to see that he's
on
that kind
of
track.
You're not out of shape. You're just not in playing shape.
Yeah, to hear that. And then, you know, I know we talked about Cody Sigler a good bit earlier, but also, I mean, Darion Smith, too, is being a guy who...
Yeah, no question. He's a guy, I mean, since, you know, there are people that are concerned, is he big enough to play inside? Not every down, I don't think, inside, but he's good enough to be able to play inside and outside.
He, to me, is kind of what I was saying about Keyshawn Singleton earlier, of like, I don't process like his how truly large of a human Keyshawn Singleton is. Darion Smith is like kind of the inverse to me of like, you see that he's smaller than a lot of the D-line, but I'm like, you look at what he's listed at and it's like, shouldn't that guy be playing another position? You see him up against like the rest of the D-line and it's like, okay, he's smaller, but like he looks like he very much fits that mold. He's another one of those ones that I'm just really excited to see like in the thick of it in competition and how they utilize him, because he is just, to me, developed over this last year and change into a really intriguing sort of player. I think he's going to be able to do a lot for him, especially if he can just fulfill everything that they've talked about as far as being like an every down guy. But what he brings you as a pass rusher, like exciting.
It's special. I mean, he does have that quick twitch and the ability to get in the backfield. I would say with JJ out, it's time for Nate Johnson needs to step up. I mean, he's the next most experienced guy in there, that where you wouldn't be sliding a Darion or a Cody or somebody like that out, because I mean, there's Joe, there's Joe Phillips, and then you get to the youngsters, Jaquez Wilkes.
Jaquez Wilkes is that. Have you ever just like spent a little bit of time just watching him?
Not really. I've watched that group.
It is just simply like, I don't think he's bigger than a Nate Johnson or a Deshaun Womack, but he is just massive.
He is big.
Already.
Yes.
Him and then the other one who's just been non-contact this whole time because he was a late add. Corey Williams, I think, is the biggest defensive lineman they have. Corey Wells, excuse me. Yes,
yeah.
Corey Wells is...
He is huge, you're right.
Massive. Like, not only carries the size of, like, a run-plugging, like, nose tackle, but, like, tall. Very, very tall. Just a massive human.
Yeah, I think... Well, isn't he listed, like, 6'5", about 3... I mean, he's 300-plus.
He is listed at 6'5", and 325 pounds,
yeah.
Which is... that's pretty large.
And he's playing outside.
Yeah. No, like that's a massive human that I'm very curious to see what he gets molded into, because that could fill a lot of roles for you depending on how you utilize it.
Yeah, no question. So that will be a position. I mean, that's been a question, but one of the things that Alex Golish has said is he's liked the rush.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that means they're getting good play there, and that's critical. I mean, they're going to have guys to try to create a little havoc in the backfield.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it's just such a – I don't know. You look at, like, you look at the build-out of especially, like, the coaching staff, and you look at it all through this lens of Golish. But then you look at kind of the defensive staff, and I think one that – we only talked about him so much in the spring and when it initially happened, but like Coleman Hutzler, I know they obviously have coached alongside each other, like you can see mm-hmm. that, but like...
Oh, he and DJ?
Yes, I think yeah. that was a pretty good pickup for Durkin as far as having a guy on your staff who, you know, matches that intensity especially. I mean, maybe outdoes you a little bit, not that it's a competition.
Well, his voice carries better.
It does, it really, like that dude, he boomed yesterday yeah. going in and cutting up clips of that press conference, too. It was like, okay, I may not hear the question, but I know the answer. I know the answer because I can hear it loud and clear right now, but it's a high-energy guy for sure.
Oh, no doubt. Let's get to our first break of hour number two. Plenty of time for you to join us. Come on in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
Come on. War Eagle 5. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser. We didn't hear anything about special teams. I wonder if they worked on special teams today, Adam. I didn't hear anything about it.
No, I did. Yeah, because, I mean, what? Went through all the periods. He's done that the last 2 weeks now. Uh-huh. I didn't hear anything particular about special teams. Like we said earlier, it sounded like, I don't know if it was all situational today or what, but like a lot of situational.
And it sounds like that's what they're going to do a lot more of here over the next couple of days, where one of the things Alex Goldish said two or three times was a lot they've got to get done here the next couple of days before they get into mock game week.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's... I think, again, like just going back to being that fine-tuned at this point is certainly the right place to be, especially as I wonder if in mock game week, if it's as simple as just the circumstance itself, I wonder at what point you start implementing Baylor Scout into all of it. Like, do you go into that?
I would imagine fairly early.
Off the jump next week or what? But, I mean, if you get two full weeks of in-depth, like this is game week Scout of Baylor, like that'd be absolutely massive. That's an interesting one to scout for. Just all the crossroads of not only like, obviously you've got to figure out how to scout Lagway because you don't really have him in the Baylor offense per se. But then, you know what the other question I think about is, what do you take from the game last year? You know, I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
is it
as simple as all the defense? But
I mean, their defense was so bad last year. They got so many new players this year, too. I mean, that's the way it is with a lot of teams, though. It's really difficult to scout because you haven't seen this grouping together.
Mm-hmm.
You may know this player or that player from having played against them, but it's difficult sometimes to say, all right, now how are they gonna fit into this defensive or offensive scheme?
Yeah. So I wonder about all that. I wonder how quickly it's gonna get specific,
yeah.
I suppose, because it'll get specific at some point. I feel like at this point, like we've learned that. But
well, and yeah, when you don't have any tape, there's no film to see this team this year yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you've got a couple of games, you've got a better idea. Although I don't know that. I mean, Vandy may be the first team that you can actually. I mean, Florida is going to be difficult to scout because of who they play the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's nobody in particular, right?
It's like Florida Atlantic and Campbell. I think are their first two games, so I don't know that they're gonna have to show a whole lot.
You might get four full quarters of the first team, maybe.
And John Summerall may not be happy if he has to play the first team four quarters in those first two games. But all right, I feel like we've sounded really positive today, and I have to admit I'm much more positive than I was. But all right, what area or areas give you the most concern right now with this Auburn football team?
I don't know how far it extends to like an entire position group or an area. Because I think at this point, like one example that pops out to me is I feel like we have been talking about them a lot, hearing about them a lot, but two guys who I don't necessarily hear at the top of their rotation who I don't know that you expected it. I think you maybe hoped it, but like, I'm curious more so about where like Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford are right now.
I was thinking defensive line.
We've heard
I heard Jordan had was it the scrimmage or heard some good heard positive comments about Jordan. I think it may have been after the scrimmage Friday. But you're right, haven't heard as much, and it sounds like, you know, Alex Golish has said, you know, these guys need to grow up.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, verbatim, that's what he said about them both today, is that, like, they need to grow up really quickly. But he also said, I mean, they want to, you know, it's again, like, the hockey rotations of this defense, like, they want to
Von Trell wants to play as many as, you know, he wants to play.
Did he say eight? Yeah, he said eight. That's, you know, you really like that, but that's
great for two spots.
Right. You know, but those are two guys who I'm just curious more than anything, and, like, where they're at in the pecking order.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because then he said about St. Farrier that when he's good,
yeah,
he's really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because sometimes you'll, like, you know, I don't know that there was that much thought into it, but sometimes you'll hear coaches, like, say that a guy's inconsistent by simply just saying that when he is good, he's really good, and when he's not good, he's really not good. But, like, he's straight up. I mean, he laid it plain before saying that. Like, he has been inconsistent. You know, that's one guy that you haven't heard, you know, a ton about. Kind of in the vein of, like, I was thinking about Nate Johnson earlier when we were talking about him in the last segment. But
you're
same
right.
sort of guy.
That's why I said this is his opportunity. Mm-hmm. He needs to step up now with J.J.
And I think, like, you'd love to see that, especially considering, like, the production that he'd had prior to getting to Mizzou last year, 2 years, really productive for App State. But the one guy who surprised me today, I know this isn't a concern, but just I think it's worth acknowledging, Michael Matthews-Canty.
Oh, yeah. How about,
you know,
that?
Being a
he's a big guy.
He's always had that size since he got to campus. But, you know, I mean, Golish, again, just said it plain today. Like, that's a guy we brought in for depth purposes, for depth's sake. And he's shown that.
Was it Hampton?
Mm-hmm, he was at Hampton, you know. But it seems like a guy who could contribute. I guess the other spot that I would say doesn't.
But, yeah, defense, you're right. Interior defensive line. And we've heard really, really good things about Cody Sigler all spring and summer and here in preseason camp, and really a lot about Dallas Walker here.
Right. I think it's more the depth.
You've got to have more guys.
It's more the depth. And, like, I think you would love to get to a point where I would say some combination of Malik, Jordan, Buddy,
Darian,
definitely. I don't know that he can fill the same sorts of roles as those first three, but you would like to have one, maybe two of those guys be in the sort of place where you're like, well, if we didn't have, you know, Dallas or Cody.
Yeah, what if one of them goes down and has to miss a game
Feel that level of confidence in one or two of those guys, I think you'd feel a lot better. And the other one that I don't know that it concerns me, but I think my brow kind of furrows. I think all the pieces are there. I just need to put the puzzle in place. It might be more on me. The secondary, like I think on the whole,
there are more pieces than can fit.
It's really
at one
just
time.
How do those chips
so many safeties
fall?
And that's why I asked about corners today, trying to figure, because I'm thinking maybe Champ is more of a corner. I mean, if depending on who's the nickel, is it Newboy? Is it Champ? Who else did he say was working? Blake Woodby?
Yeah, Woodby has worked all five spots, he said today. That was the one that I was
thinking
of.
Because when he was going through corners, he didn't get to Blake. He was down four or five guys. As a matter of fact, he mentioned five before he mentioned Blake. Then he said Blake's worked at all five positions.
Yeah. And so, like, it's not that I don't know that there is concern there, but, you know, beyond the starting boundary corners in particular, I think you've got your options there. I think that's what it's some two-man combination of Andre Jordan, Rayshon Pleasant, and Gavin Jenkins probably at this point. But how does the rest of it fill in with whoever those two are? And then what is next up after all that? I feel like that's the stuff I don't know that it's a concern. I don't know that I have a grasp on it. Like, right now, I know the names, but I'm not necessarily sure where they're all going to fall at the end of it all.
Safety is crazy. There are just so many guys there at safety. And today, Alex Golish said, you know, he had Caleb Harris back, he new boys back, and you already had, he said, Eric had was very good today out there. You know, you already have Champ, you have Sly, you have, who am I leaving out? And there's somebody, there's at least another one or two. Wayne Henry's had a good, sounds like
Wayne Henry's
had a
gotten
good
some shout outs.
I mean, there,
have we heard anything about Gaskin lately?
Not lately. Not lately.
He's one that
I heard about him the first week or so of camp.
He's still one that I'm kind of like, I'm curious. I'm curious about him, you know, to see what he can do. But that's really, I mean, that's pretty much the rundown of the safety room. Beyond what? I mean, the last three we mentioned, Wayne Henry, Fred Gaskin, and then I think DeMonte Tabb would be the other, like, scholarship guy. But haven't heard a lot about Tabb. I know, if I'm right, he was a late ad.
He was.
But, yeah, like, it's just super deep room. Super, super deep room. So, yeah, I want to know where those pieces fall.
You know, you can only have three of them at a time out there if one of them is your nickel, and there's probably – six and we talked about.
You could, in theory, have four out there if you can figure out a way to make. Whatever the role is, where Eric Winters is an additional like linebacker, because he's just. I mean, that's the thing is they have Darian Smith, for sure fits this. I think of Eric Winters in the same vein. You've got guys who are playing main positions who are built like guys who should be playing other positions, whether that's Darian
Smith.
Eric
Winters is as big as a lot of linebackers right. Auburn had over the last few years.
I think he's the best example, and I think Darian, to an extent, I don't know that he's a true like DT in the way that you fulfill that role, but he's a guy who's going to be listed that role and give you plenty of things that you can do. And I mean, that's the cool thing about both those guys is I think they could do some things for you that not a lot of other places may have a guy who could fill that role for you. So it's just where the pieces go. It's not whether or not you have them, because you've got them.
Well, DJ Durkin has so many players that are flexible and have cross trained at different things. What was crazy is when we looked out there the other day and you see Bryce Deese running nickel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a linebacker. You're talking about a safety that could possibly play some linebacker. You got a linebacker that has the speed and ability to be able to play some nickel. Obviously, in certain situations, you wouldn't want him out there against the teams that are going to throw it 60 times a game.
Right.
But I mean,
that could be a great, whether it's him or Eric Winters, like that to me is a great mismatch for a tight end out of the slot. Or,
right.
You know, I mean, even if he's got a hand down, before the snap, depending on who the guy is. And Deez was another guy who got a shout out today. He's worked at all three linebacker spots. Like just I know it was an element of it last year. I feel like we've just heard about it a lot more this year of the cross training and the versatility stuff, which just makes it fascinating. Like the approach of, you're not going to be playing positionless football in the way that some places do, like positionless basketball. But at this rate, you're starting to feel like you've got that much multiplicity.
Yeah, what's great is, you don't have to make substitutions sometimes with guys that are playing well, depending on, the offense could change some things, and you don't have to make those changes. So yeah, it's really intriguing to look out there. And, I mean, Alex Golish has said that, they were trying to find – the 11 best, and now it's maybe the 20 best. Mm-hmm. But those 20 guys are playing like it's around 26 or 28 because of the positions they're playing. So, I mean, it gives you even more depth to be able to move those guys around.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. That's the thing. I wish I could tell you like genuine concern, but ultimately I think the biggest concerns at
depth
this point
on the defensive
just...
line, exactly. I mean, if somebody goes down at a corner, I think that could be a concern.
Very fair one.
Offensively, I mean, I think if the O line stays healthy, they've got a chance to be much improved.
I think O line health is honestly that's a pretty fair concern, because I mean, obviously Stanton Ramil, you're going to be thinking about that,
because he has been injury plagued.
And I guess kind of I will circle back to him at the end point of this, but then you think about Jacob Strand, Jack Lehrer,
right.
Those two guys in particular, I know were injury prone.
Yeah, and especially Jacob, because he's pushing for a starting job right now.
Right, like that's I think a very fair point. The one thing you have seen that makes you maybe a little more optimistic, a little less concerned on that front is I think from what we've seen, the approach to this point with Stanton Ramil seems to be effective. Mm-hmm. As much as he's been, getting veteran days during practice. But
who's the guy running behind Stanton?
At right tackle?
Yeah.
Wilson Zaire is the name Wilson? I've seen. Okay. So, yeah, like that's one where, I guess by way of that, you'd be looking at O-line depth, but I think it's easy to wonder about the health of that group, because you've got some backstories in there where it's kind of like, okay, that guy, hopefully he's staying on the upswing as far as his health goes. And then beyond that, it's,
I mean, everybody, every team in the country that knows who their starting quarterback is always concerned in case. But that's not anything that's going to be, unique to Auburn.
The other two points that I would make for the offense are it would have been a concern heading into today if he didn't get brought up, but I still think it's worth, monitoring where Bryson Washington ends up in all this. And then the last thing, I guess, yeah, I would just...
When he said, we saw, you know, we've seen why Bryson's been able to do what he's done the last couple of years.
And that was, now. I mean, that summing up confidence in a player at this point of the year in like one sentence, I thought that was just hearing that. It was like, okay, like that's, I'm assuming that guy has taken a step or carved his way out into top three or wherever he is in that rotation. Because
he's not quite to the proud yet, like we said the first half.
Right, so exactly. And I think that merits the concern, but exciting what you heard today about him. And I guess the other thing would just be like the tight end group is very exciting, but is it so exciting and there's so much potential for so many options that maybe there isn't one guy who gets clearly defined out of all that?
Yeah, maybe.
You know? But I also think that's carts before horses a little bit because you don't – I think, too, the way that Golish has had a background with that position, of course, but the philosophy of these guys needing to kind of fill a very specific role and of what is an effective tight end, like, I don't think you need it to be that much game in, game out as far as a threat and, the passing attack or things like that, but you need a fail-safe there sometimes. So we'll see. But that's one, too, where I wonder about it because it feels like everybody in that room, in theory, is like you're banking on them to pop or step or take a jump, so to speak. And I think Jake Johnson's the least of those.
Yes.
But, yeah, that would be – that's just, what jumps out
to
me.
He has to be healthy.
He does have to be healthy. That's another one. And, I mean, obviously, like, same token of that, Arliss Boardingham as well. We said earlier Hunter Herring's been dinged up, but I don't know that he's necessarily going to be a, mainstay tight end.
Right.
But, yeah, that is also one of those rooms where I think it merits a level of concern. But, yeah, I think that's – I don't know that that's it.
But it's a lot less than we would have thought back going into spring.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness.
And I just think, I think my moment for this, I remember this was a couple preseason camps ago. And, I don't think he would mind me sharing this story, but we were about at this point. And I believe it was the year they brought in Percy Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And things just started to flare up about, I forget if Hugh Freeze said something or if there was just something noticeable at practice, but it was kind of like, oh, that guy may not be the left tackle that you needed him to be. And Nathan just kind of said to me, this is always like, the summation of it was, this is always the juncture of preseason camp where the optimism and the sunshine pump, however much of it you could have.
Yeah, you need to know now.
It starts to go away, and I think I've kind of braced for that the last couple of years itself. And we haven't had it yet, obviously. It's not going to be fall camp next week. It's going to be game week, but we'll see. I mean, in theory, that would be the point where it usually turns. But up till now, I think you've been pleased. I think you've been surprised. Like you said, I think it would have been easy to assume you had a lot more concern at this point.
We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Yeah, we're a little behind. We'll get caught back up. There's still plenty of time for you to join us, 334-321-1390, here on the Wednesday Drive.
Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Adam Cole here in the studio and Drew at the controls. Adam, There was some news in both football and basketball, adding a fifth year player here since you were on last Wednesday.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it is okay. Let's see if I can remember this off the dome. It is Trey Taylor from Troy.
Yeah, you got double T and then double K.
Okay, and then I'm already like
Colby King
from Utah State. And
this will be his fifth school in 5 years. Now I'm trying. I don't remember who the first one was. It was St. John's his sophomore year, Tulane his third year, Utah State this past year. I don't recall who the first one, but he's been at some places that understand.
Yeah,
big time basketball.
Because it was St. John's his freshman year, Tulane's sophomore year, Butler his junior year.
Butler. Yeah, no kidding. So, I mean, that's some basketball schools.
Butler and St. John's, like, those are two especially. And Utah State's been so good the last couple years. But seems like kind of it makes me wonder about, I know George Kimball was one of those guys who was sidelined during the trip to Greece. And, it's hard not to wonder about his health.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, because he missed, sat out last year trying to get back from injury of Andy.
Because it just just feels too early. I don't think you're at a point in the offseason where you're like, okay, well, this guy isn't going to be in the rotation kind of thing. Like, I don't think this is a replacement for, like,
Blake Mischalek. But if you have a chance to add somebody,
right.
Do it.
Yeah, right. And so I think that's, you know, I'm curious to see how he fits into all of that. And then Trey Taylor, I don't know what to expect. I have no clue what to expect.
I got to use the word diminutive yesterday. That is maybe the lightest non-kicker that I can recall at Auburn.
Well, and it's Jeff Shearer.
He's listed at 150, and I that may be with his pads.
Right. And Jeff Shearer tweeted out a video of him yesterday that went fairly viral, but a lot of people were making a point that...
Hey man, he caught 30 passes for right at 500 yards last year for Troy.
Like, he played for a competitive team in the Sun Belt last year. He had a
touchdown catch against Clemson?
Yeah, he had three catches for 55 yards and a touchdown against Clemson. Yeah. People were just basically making the argument, like, you never know. Like, sometimes these guys, if they can play, they can play regardless of their size, and... I don't know that it's just such a late ad for football that I don't know. I'm not going to expect to see any of him this year.
No.
But you never know.
No, but it is at a position where it's possible for there to be a play or two, something like that, that they can have for him.
I could totally see that with him just being like with the way that he made plays, just deploying him like a gadget guy, so to speak. I could absolutely see that, but that's one I'm, you know, that... 28 minutes, I don't think Trey Taylor came up today with Alex Golish, so that's maybe the question
for next
week.
Bryce Kane was right there at the top.
Bryce Kane was, but no, that's one I'm curious to hear more. I guess that's for next week's availability, to hear a little more about Trey Taylor.
There you go. Let's get to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390, and Tommy is up next. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, for the high school football this fall, is there still seven classes, or is this year they go to the six?
That I do not know. That's a good question. Is that?
No, I thought it was still seven.
I thought
I know that the you know, the private schools are moving out, but it's still seven classifications.
Okay, but is it going to change next year, or is it going to stay seven?
I would think it would stay. I mean, I haven't heard that it's changing.
The AISA still thing, I guess?
That's my I don't know the answer to the question, but I wonder, like, if there's an offshoot with the way that things have gone of sort of separating the private schools. I don't know if the classification, like the amounts of them, are going to change in the next couple of years. I wouldn't be surprised if they are, but Bill and I are both furiously Googling right now, but I don't know that off the dome.
Okay.
If they're going to change, like, when they are.
Well, as I look, football only lists six classifications. So I was wrong there. So I apologize for not knowing that. I mean, I knew that the AISA, the former AISA schools were being moved out, but I did not realize. All right, so the classifications say. Is one through 6A public, and then single A, double A, private. So they're all going to be AHSA. It's not going to be AISA. But there are eight classifications, but six public school and two privates.
Okay, and the new Auburn High School, I think it's called Plains.
Yes, Plains High. That is right.
Will it be six? I mean, will some of those kids from Auburn, I guess, go over there, and would that mean Auburn High would step down a notch?
I would imagine they're both going to be six, because Auburn is the largest high school in the state. So they should both still be 6A.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Tommy. Yeah, I'll do some checking on that, too. I mean, I'm assuming a couple of things. Then of course, I approved the old saying about assume there with my first answer being wrong. But yeah, I mean, and if somebody out there – I know there are plenty of folks that don't. I haven't been doing high school stuff for a while.
Yeah.
Should have asked. I mean, we just had, our high school guys just left. Mm-hmm. They were here until a couple of minutes ago and left. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting that it's all going to be under the AHSA umbrella, but you're going to have two classifications of private schools and six classifications of public schools. All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Hey, if you know, and there are plenty of you out there, know more than we do about this, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and enlighten us. And, you know, if we answered something wrong for Tommy, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Hey, this is Christian Griffin from
with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday. All right, Auburn High School, I was pretty sure of this, and yes, Auburn High School is the largest high school in the state. And there was reclassification for starting this year, and it's based on the average enrollment of prior years. And Auburn's average was 2,241. It is larger than that now. And Hoover was second at 2,100. Those are the only two schools over. Actually, Sparkman is third at 1,734. That's how much larger those two schools are. And to give you an idea, Tommy was asking, would they both be 6A? Yes, right now, if they split it, you'd figure both Auburn High and Plains High would have 1,200-plus students. And 6A, the largest classification, goes down to 1,042. So they would be... In the top 20 each,
man,
as large schools here. That's pretty amazing to think about.
I will say, when I moved here and Bennett Durando was still here, like, one of the things that he told me, I don't know where he read it, but I, from the day I got here, have been like, yeah, I'd believe that, is that he said this is the fastest growing college town in the SEC, and that was 2022, and it feels like it's just
it has not slowed down.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why anytime you turn around, there's a new subdivision, there's a new, you know.
And the one thing that's always so interesting when I talk to people who, like, went to school here multiple years ago, they always talk about, if they do come back, how much they like it, they're like, downtown is just like, it's not what it used to be, it's so much bigger. And it's just so funny, because I'm like,
but they all want to come back.
They do.
That's the thing.
They
do. So many people that went to school here do whatever they can to get back.
Well, I mean, literally, like, I went to a private K-8 school in Northeast Kansas. And my mom was a part of their, like, I guess what, the PTO board, I think would be the right phrase.
PTA here, yeah.
PTA, yeah. And eventually, like, you know, she stayed involved with them. My brother and I obviously are well moved along from our eighth grade years of life. But there was a guy who his kids went there, who she met, I think, through the PTA board. And he's an Auburn alum. And so it's just, you know, like, I remember there was one time him and I talked in the last couple of years, and it was the first time we had, like, gotten to, you know, actually talk since knowing we existed. And that was his one thing about Auburn, is I think he'd been down a couple times, like, it hadn't been frequent, but he's just like, yeah, it's not the same Auburn. It's just, it's so much bigger. And
well, it is.
And it's, I guess, the high rise element of it downtown is a big piece of that, from just old photos I've seen. But it's just funny to hear, because I drive around and I have my very limited perspective of years here, and I'm just,
hey,
like,
I remember being able to drive on campus.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's so. the one thing I always tell people, because as somebody from the Midwest, who, you know, I get this question every once in a while of, like, you know, like, what's it like living in Alabama? Like, what do you not like about living in Alabama? My number one answer, the traffic. That's always what I say, is I'm like, school year, it's just gridlocked. It's miserable.
And that's not a state thing. That's just
right,
because of the size of Auburn and the inability to really change the infrastructure and add roads.
Right. You know, I still, the one thing is, we're really getting off topic here. Last thing I'll say, I don't understand why there aren't more exits off the interstate that cuts through Auburn. Like, the fact that you've only got.
That's a good point.
Technically,
that's
two?
A good point.
I don't know.
But, yeah, there are a couple that you go under.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be able to get off there.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I can sort of bring it back to sports. It's pretty amazing when you look at all the former coaches from Auburn who are here.
Yeah.
I don't hear of that at every other school.
That's something, I mean.
When coaches, and a lot of them didn't leave on the, you know, happiest of terms, but they're really glad to come back.
Yeah,
and stay here.
Talking to people who are in the athletic department, like coaches, you know, like I think this is true, but and this has been more than a year now since I heard this, but I think it was every living Auburn football coach except for Brian Harsin owned property in like Lee County or the surrounding area, which is, I don't know, that's such an interesting. I'd love to be able to figure out, okay, like, what other SEC coachings?
Yeah,
you know,
good.
Like,
yeah,
are there other ones like that?
Not to my knowledge. A lot of times, you know, former coaches just they want to find another place.
And I don't doubt that. And you know, it's I would imagine to some extent that there are coaches who, even if it didn't end great, like you have so many ties to a place that you do settle back down and call it home whenever. But to have that clip of former, especially SEC, it's the fact that it's SEC football coaches, and I think you can add into that like the reputation that Auburn generally carries. I think when you live in Auburn, you don't always sense that, but coming in here from the outside world, it was like, okay, like things get crazy here. There's always so much turnover.
Oh yeah.
And to have that many coaches still, you know, call this place home in a way, like it's fascinating.
Adam Cole, always great to have you in on Wednesdays. Let folks know one more time in case they you know, hadn't heard how they can keep up with everything you're doing.
Absolutely. For everything we've got coming up in the next couple weeks as far as exclusivity goes and the day in, day out of fall camp, just head to montgomeryadvertiser.com. Click sports at the top, and you should see the word Auburn in some shape, form, or fashion. Give that a click, and it'll give you everything you need. And if you're looking for me, whether that's Twitter, TikTok, just search at Cole Reporter. That's my last name, C-O-L-E. The word reporter, and you're going to find me wherever you're looking for me.
Great stuff, Adam. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks.
That's going to wrap things up for the Wednesday drive. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer in tomorrow, and we'll see if we can't get our old Thursday guy back here pretty soon as well, David Paschal. But that's going to do it for today. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.